Hello, everybody. It's Sam from Financial Samurai, and in this podcast, we're going to talk about a stealth wealth solution for real estate investors with kids. Somewhat of a niche topic, I guess, but I think many of us have kids or want to have kids, and many of us like real estate as a long-term path to wealth accumulation. I think if you want to raise better adjusted kids, you probably want to practice some level of stealth wealth so that they don't grow up to be spoiled and unable to recognize prosperity. I did have that post about how, you know, the definition of American prosperity needs an adjustment because, you know, we all think for some reason that we are poorer and less prosperous than we really are, yet we, you know, we're born in America or are living in America for most of us, I guess. And that puts us in a pretty high place in the world where we have a lot of opportunity. So a couple readers did point out that I was raised rich, given I had two parents with stable jobs. For example, instead of having to walk to school, I got to ride a bicycle. And I even got a 486 desktop computer my junior year. Remember those? Those are so cool. You like open up the computer, you put the chip in and the Intel chip and the graphics chip. Actually, I don't know if those graphics chip add-ons back then, but I remember the memory. You could add on more RAM. So despite this privilege, I wasn't able to recognize I grew up rich because my parents drove an 8-year-old Toyota Camry and we lived in a modest townhouse for the four of us. Thanks to my parents' frugal ways, I was highly motivated not to mess things up by slacking off in high school and college. I knew that education was the only way for me to kind of get ahead and build more money and you know, get more opportunity, right? My parents simply didn't have a large enough financial buffer to overcome a deadbeat son. Being unable to recognize their wealth also pushed me to attend a public university, right? The College of William & Mary at that point was only $2,800 a year in tuition. So I knew that worst case scenario, if I graduated with no job, no nothing, I could go back to work at McDonald's or move boxes for $4 to $5 an hour and just pay for that tuition. So if I had attended a private university, I would have felt much, much too guilty, I think, and a lot of pressure to prove that the expense was worth it. Back then, private school tuition was around $20,000 to $25,000 a year, which is a lot. It even sounds like a lot today. So I still wonder to this day whether my parents are actually much richer than they've led me to believe. My dad still drives a Toyota he bought in 1997. My parents still live in the same old house since 1980. And they also never buy any new clothes or luxury items. If there's an early bird special at 4:30 p.m., my parents are one of the first to get in line. So the easiest ways to stealth wealth are to drive an old economy car and never wear anything expensive. By doing so, you can still send your kids to private school or join country clubs and go on nice vacations without raising too much suspicion from the outside world. But what about the inside world where it really matters? You know, what if you're a strong believer in real estate as an investment, like I am? What if you don't really like stocks because they don't provide utility and they're too volatile for you? Or any other type of asset class as much, for that matter? And what if you want to protect your children from spoiling? You know what? Screw the outside world, what they think. It's all about your children, your family. You've also got enough capital to buy a luxury home if you wish. The answer is quite simple. Own a modest primary residence that is no larger than the median-sized home in your city. With your excess capital, buy a second residence as a rental home, a second home, or an office if you have a business. For example, let's say you live in Austin, Texas, where the median home price is $370,000. You have the ability to buy with cash one very nice $800,000 home to live in a better neighborhood and gain more real estate exposure. After all, you believe Austin is going to be the next San Francisco because why does San Francisco have a monopoly on capital or on innovation? No. There can clearly be many other San Franciscos in the country that'll probably provide a tremendous amount of return in terms of real estate in the future. But if you buy a 6,000 square foot mansion, your kids will probably obviously know that you're rich. Your kids will start asking for larger allowances and nicer things because they're rational. Daddy and mommy can afford it. They'll probably stop doing chores too, which is kind of annoying. Most of all, they will lose their motivation to work hard because they'll assume Someone will always take care of them. Okay, not all kids will lose their motivation, but come on. If you come home to a 6,000 square foot mansion, you know, your parents drive decent cars, you're going on luxury vacations, whatever. I mean, come on, you're just going to probably rationally not work as hard because why bother? Or, of course, you might take more risks because you have a safety net and, you know, you might hit it big that way. So instead of buying that $800,000 mansion, buy the average three-bedroom, two-bathroom, $370,000 home that's, I don't know, 2,400 square feet. And with your surplus capital, then buy another $370,000 to $430,000 home and turn it into a rental. This way, you'll not only increase your child's chances of having a normal sense of money, you will also better allocate your capital for potentially higher returns and less cash drag, right? So you're not going to just leave your cash in the bank earning, well, now a pretty good 2.4, 2.5%. But cash drag is a drag over the long term. So when your children grow up to be well-adjusted adults, hopefully, you can then surprise them with a modest home of their own to live in or manage one day while also getting to stay in your primary residence. You won't have to go through what a couple of my neighbors go through and have your adult children live back at home with you for many, many years. I swear, my adult kid neighbors will never leave because they don't have the fire within them to stand on their own. I've been here for five years now, and these adult neighbor kids, they moved in when they were 22, 23, 24. They're still there, and I don't see them ever leaving. So the only downside to this strategy is that you're living in a smaller or less ideal location than you can comfortably afford, right? YOLO, what's the point of having money? But I strongly believe large homes with unused rooms are kind of a waste of money. They are purchased more for ego purposes rather than utility. Further, if you buy two median-priced homes, you own property that is affordable to more people. There's less risk of being stuck with an unsellable property if you one day decide to sell. There are plenty of luxury properties I toured in Honolulu in 2014 that are still on the market today. And that's my biggest hesitation for buying luxury Honolulu property, besides not being really stealth to my kids, is that once you get in, man, you just cannot get out. It's like the mafia. You cannot get out. There's this house. It was like $3.5 million in 2014. I have a picture of it. I'm sitting on the balcony overlooking the water, and they just lowered it to 2.9 or something. And they lowered it to 2.95 million a year or 2 years ago, and it's still sitting. So good luck trying to get out when you own a luxury property. It might be an albatross. So listen, folks, if your kids return to a luxurious home every day, it doesn't matter if you dress like a hobo and drive a beater, your cover is blown. Further, there are plenty of poor people, or just not wealthy people, who wear nice clothes and drive nice cars because credit is readily available for such things. Therefore, not everybody will automatically think you're rich if you have a penchant for Gucci and Prada and BMW and a lot of other stuff. And that's kind of the irony here. Nowadays, the more you try to act rich, the more people kind of think you're an idiot. But with your primary residence, it's just too hard to explain away a mansion. You know, unlike buying a $200 t-shirt with credit card, getting a mortgage nowadays, it's pretty difficult. After the financial crisis of 2008 to 2009, banks really tighten up their lending. You know, I'm going through my mortgage refinance process right now, and I'm being asked about all these documents, K-1s, rental proof, you know, proof that I own my rental property free and clear, yada, yada, yada. This is despite me showing three times more in liquid assets than my refinance amount. Three times more. I can pay off my mortgage, but I'm just trying to be strategic here. And they're still like, they treated me kind of like, I don't know, just some random guy off the street. So it's hard to get a mortgage nowadays, so it's really hard to explain away your mansion, because it's either you're qualified to get a good mortgage, meaning you have enough assets and you have a high enough income, or you paid cash for the house. So I think being able to grow your wealth in a low-key manner and raise grounded kids is a wonderful combination. And I was thinking about this a little bit more beyond this podcast. Eventually, your kids will realize you've been a stealth wealth grandmaster for decades. You know, maybe my son will listen to this podcast or care to listen to this podcast in 20 years. He's 24 months old now, so maybe he'll be inspired as a 22-year-old plus young adult, and he'll think, all this time, my dad has been quite stealthy, and all this time, it has allowed me to develop a solid relationship with money and to appreciate money and work ethic. This is at least my hope. And I think this is the hope for all of our children. And then by then, they might be so inspired, hopefully, that they'll follow your lead, my lead, and instill in their grandkids and my grandkids also a healthy relationship with money as well. And, you know, the more you look out into the future and you think about your children and then and your children's children, I think the more important this topic becomes. So thanks so much, everyone, and share with me your thoughts in the comments in the post.